Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be your mouthpiece. Father, we ask. We have come and we are gathered in your name. So we know that you are in the midst of us. That's what your word says. Irregardless of what we feel, irregardless of what our head says, you are in the midst of us, Father. That is something we recognize. So I ask in Jesus' name that you would use my mouth to teach us, teach me of your word. Father, that we might learn of you. We might learn of our place in the kingdom of God. And we thank you. We thank you for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hold your finger there in John chapter 3. Go to John chapter 1. Let's start at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. Now, that's important. First of all, he says, in the beginning was the Word. So the Word was there in the beginning. And the Word was with God. So he was there. And the Word was God. In verse 2, he says, he was in the beginning with God. So we know he's not talking about a sentence or a single word, verbiage. He's not talking about that. He gives the word personification. The word is a person, a physical being. And he says, in the beginning, the Word was there. And he says, the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So he's talking about God. I know this sounds basic, simple. But we have to understand this. That this word is a very important thing, person. It's not just an idea. It's not just a sentence. It's not just something that we know that God created the heavens and the earth. That this word was God. And we know that the whole idea, people say, well, there, you know, about the Trinity. How can God be one and still be three? Well, I can't tell you. I know it's possible. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God was one, and yet God was three. So we have the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, as we're about to find out. And we have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was hovering on the face of the deep, right? And look at verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So that includes everything about God, including the Spirit who was hovering on the face of the deep. That brought everything into creation. In the Psalms, it says, he sent forth his Spirit and they were created. So we know that the Spirit had everything to do with creation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three God, all three one. And the Word was with God and he was God. And he was in the very beginning when all this started. He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He was a marked being. He was a marked man before this ever started out. Before the foundation of the world began, that the host of heaven had been created, Satan, Lucifer had been created, evil had been found in Lucifer. And he said, I will rise above all that is created. And pride and self-absorption and it's all about me was found in him, and that was considered evil. And I will take it all for myself, and I will rise above God. And he was thrown and cast from heaven and cast to the earth. And he was cast down. And I have to assume that he was imprisoned in the deep. And then God created all of the earth. And man was created. So evil was in the earth, but was imprisoned. So if anything went wrong, Jesus was going to have to die. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But he was also the life. He was also the life that was within us. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Life was in him. And that life was the light of men. God said, let there be light. Light was the life of men. That was well before the sun and moon were created. God said, let there be light. And that light was the life of men. Verse 5, and light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now he's recognizing that there was evil in the world, isn't he? Now all of a sudden, the light was shining in the darkness, and the darkness didn't have a clue what to do with it. You see, God created man. God created man and breathed into him. Into his nostrils, the life of God, and gave him a spirit that was alive. And that was his light. And the darkness didn't have a clue what to do with it. What is this? They have the light of God. They are God. And Adam was the God of this world. And he had the same light that God had. And Lucifer didn't know what to do with that. What is this? He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is all this talking about? What happened? Now, to understand what happened, I want to jump back over to John chapter 3 and read some verses so that when we go back into Genesis, maybe some of this will make sense as to what happened. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, let's look at a couple of things here. First of all, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was not a Sadducee. The Sadducees believed that you lived and you died and there was nothing else. That the only time of life was the short period of time that you live on the earth, and that basically God was there to bless you and to make your life prosperous during this time on the earth, and that was it. Once you died, you're gone. It was like before being born. You didn't know anything about it before you were born. And after you died, you ceased to exist. He was a Pharisee. The Pharisees did believe. They believed in God. They believed in angels. They believed that you walked on the earth in the flesh. And then after you died, there was an afterlife. And they believed that there were two places that you could go. That you went into the kingdom of God, or you went into everlasting perdition. They believed in heaven and hell. The issue with them, though, is that you had to follow the law to get into heaven. And that you had to follow the law to a T to get into heaven. But the problem was, and Nicodemus recognized it, is nobody could follow it. There were those who would want to exalt themselves and make them look like they were following the law. But Nicodemus was on the Sanhedrin. He knew them. He knew that it was all fake. Nobody could follow that law. Now Jesus comes along, and Jesus, he's not like any of these guys. And Nicodemus recognizes that. Why? Because the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among men. He was that true light. And Nicodemus was looking for that light. And he saw it in Jesus. He saw it. He recognized the light. And he came to Jesus while by night. And maybe he was chicken, I don't know. It doesn't say. But he came to Jesus at night. And he starts off by saying, listen, you're from God. There ain't no doubt about that. Nobody could do what you do and not be from God. You are from God. I recognize that you are from God. And Jesus cut to the chase. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, you can almost see Jesus. Let's not waste time with platitudes here. Let's just get right to it, Nicodemus. You can't get into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You want to get into heaven, you got to be born again. Verse 4. Nicodemus' response was normal. Now, we've been in the church for a long time, so we think he should have known this. But you got to understand, nothing like this had ever been taught. This was completely foreign. He's coming to Jesus saying, how can I get into heaven? How can I get into the kingdom of God? Because I can't live the law. I can't do this thing perfectly. How? And I believe that Nicodemus was coming with an honest and genuine question. How can I get into heaven? I can't live by the law. I can't uphold the law. And Jesus says, you can't get into heaven unless you're born again. So Nicodemus answers him with an honest response. He wasn't trying to make fun of what Jesus said, I don't believe, because I think Jesus would have recognized that. He recognized everybody else that was trying to trap him. And he nailed them. The Bible says he knew the thoughts of those who were trying to trap him, who were genuine and not genuine. That's not the case here. So I don't think Nicodemus was trying to be sarcastic. I think he answered with a legitimate and honest response and question. He says in verse 4, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's just being honest. This doesn't make sense to me. It's too late on the being born part. I was born, and maybe I was born in innocence and had not sinned. But by the time I was age 12, I had a big list. I had a rap sheet 3 pages long. How can I go and start this thing over again? And Jesus gives him a very good answer to help clarify this. And Jesus answered, verse 5, saying, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you that you must be born again. So what he's saying to Nicodemus is, you can't enter back into your mother's womb. You've already been born of the flesh. It's too late for that. You're born of the flesh, but even if you had carried out the law to the degree, that wouldn't get you into the kingdom of heaven. If you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you have to be born of the Spirit. Now, what did that mean? I mean, just put yourself for a minute in Nicodemus's shoes. He believed in the Spirit. He was a Pharisee. He believed that every man had a spirit. And after you died, that spirit went to either the kingdom of heaven or it went to hell. So he believed in the Spirit, but he had never, ever encountered the idea of a second birth. And Jesus was saying here, you have to be born of the flesh and you have to be born of the Spirit. So you must be born again. So obviously, he was already born of the flesh, because Jesus said the flesh gives birth to flesh. But you also must be born of the Spirit, and Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Now, what happened? What is that about? Let's go back to Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26. Let's start at the very beginning. I want you to understand what's happened to the history of man, to you. Chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us. Notice the plurality there. And in every translation, it is translated in the plural, because the word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Don't remember reading that. So then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, what did God do? He made man in his own image. He did. Made him just like God. Made him just like God. Just like himself. Put the light of life that was in God, he put in man. And the darkness didn't know what to do with that. All of a sudden, God was on the earth. And he gave man the authority over the earth. He said, go have dominion over it. Which included Satan, Lucifer, who had been cast down to the earth. I've always been asked the question, why didn't God give Lucifer a second chance? How can we believe that God would give man a second chance if he didn't give Lucifer a second chance? I said he did give Lucifer a second chance. But he had to live in submission to the God-man he created. Man was given dominion over the earth, and that included Satan. That included Lucifer, the devil, whatever you want to call him. Verse 29, see, God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning there were the sixth day. So God looked at what he had made. He made a beautiful earth. Everything was in its proper place. You get into chapter 2, you see that the rivers were going in its proper place. And the water was in its proper place. And the animals were in their proper place. And the birds were in their proper place. Everything was in its proper place. Bacteria was in its proper place. Even flies and bugs were in their proper place. Everything was in its proper place. You go into the book of Job and God says, hey, I'm the one who told everything where to go and where to stop. I set the boundaries. I set it all up perfect. Everything. And he saw that what he had done was very good. This is very good. And I got my man down here and he is just like me. And he's ruling just like me in heaven as it is on earth and on earth as it is in heaven. Everything's proper. Everything's perfect. And God saw that what he had done was very good. Not just good. He said, this is very good. The word good. If you look at the primary root of the word good is God. So he looked at his work and he said, this is very me. This has me all over it. Everything's in order. Everything is where it should be. This is very me. I like it. He looked and saw his own image. And said, there is nothing more perfect than that. This is very, very God. Verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. Now that was just Adam's home. Adam was going to rule over all the earth. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now jump down to verse 16, because he's going to talk about some rivers there, and that's not important. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Man did not need to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was no reason for him to have any knowledge of evil. All he needed to know was the good and the life. He was made in the likeness and in the image of God. He didn't need to eat of that tree. Number two, how did God define evil, really? Satan was evil. Lucifer, who became Satan, was evil. He was evil. How was he evil? Because pride rose up in his heart. And he became enamored with himself. And it was all about me and my glory. And I will exalt myself above the heavens. And God said, that's evil. That's evil. You're going to get out of order. And that's evil. That's how God defined evil. He didn't want his man to be self-absorbed. Why? Because God's not self-absorbed. We know that. Everything God does, he does for others. He gave his life. He didn't have to. He was concerned about us. And God didn't want his man to be self-absorbed, because you can't rule over somebody when you're self-absorbed. Because all you're going to be thinking about is you. What can these little minions do for me? And God didn't want his man acting like that. He wanted his man to have dominion over the earth, but he wanted his man to have dominion over the earth the way he would have dominion over the earth. That he would do for others as he would have done for himself. That he would treat others the way he would want to be treated. Therefore, he was qualified, because he was made in the image of God and did not know evil. And God didn't want him to know evil. He didn't want him to have this self-awareness, self-absorption. It's all about me. He didn't want that in his man. You can't rule that way. You can't be in authority that way. So many people want authority. And you might get there in the world if you're self-absorbed. You might get there. We've seen self-absorbed leaders. And self-absorbed leaders are not good leaders. But in the kingdom of God, you can't do that. Because God doesn't rule that way. If you exalt yourself, you will be abased. That's God's rule. So man didn't need to have the knowledge of evil. He only needed the life. And he said, you can eat of any tree. That'll sustain your flesh. And you can eat of the tree of life. That'll sustain your spirit. But of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you don't need that one. And don't eat it. Don't eat it, he said. Look at his words. He said, don't eat it. What happens if you eat it? You will surely die. He didn't say you might die. He didn't say you'd die in the future. He said, the day that you eat that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. You'll die. Those are strong words, but God warned him. Now jump over to chapter 3. And this is the saddest story in the entire world, where everything went wrong. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So now here he has redefined God. And he has redefined God in Eve's mind. To be like God, God never said you had to know good and evil. There was nothing in there that said to be God, you had to know both good and evil. God made man in his image. Man was already like God. Didn't need to become like God. She was made in the image of God already. The knowledge of evil was not necessary. God made man. He made Adam, said it isn't good for Adam to be alone, and then made Eve. And Eve was taken from the rib. She was just like Adam to be a helpmate for Adam. They were partners, they were together, they were equal. Everything was as it should be. And they were like God. They were to have dominion over the earth. They were the God of the earth. So they didn't need to become like God. They were already like God. But she got duped. And the serpent, who obviously was Lucifer, said, you won't surely die. You're not going to die. God's just trying to trap you. He don't want you to become like him. Because he knows the day you eat that fruit, you'll be like him. Knowing both good and evil, and he doesn't want the competition. He's afraid that you'll rise above him. See, he's already dropping the seed of what he is already. Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now the one tree God said, you don't eat of it, they ate of it. And they knew going into it, that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And on that day, Adam and Eve died. Their flesh didn't fall over lifeless, but they died. They died. You understand, they died. They were deader than a doorknob. What happened? They passed. They were born again. they passed from life unto death. They went from being alive to being dead. They were born again. Their spirit died. And it was their spirit that gave them life. You remember, God formed man from the earth. At that point, he was just flesh. He was made from the dirt of the earth, all the elements of the earth. And our flesh is just made up of stuff you can find in the ground. I mean, you can just get all the elements that we're made of and get them all together. And that doesn't do anything but just put a big lump of stuff all together. That doesn't make it alive. What made man alive? When God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. There's only four elements in DNA. Four. And those four elements can be assembled and put into a jug, and you can shake it, you can spin it, you can heat it up, throw it across the room, whatever you want to, and it does nothing. Nothing. It's just the elements. It was the breath of life, and that's what man can't reproduce. And that's what gave man his life. It was the spirit. And on the day they disobeyed God and obeyed Lucifer or Satan, they died. But God had already given man dominion over the earth. And it was in Lucifer's heart to rise above God, because he saw man as God, and he didn't want to be under that dominion. I will rise above it. And that's the way he knew he could rise above it. So now Lucifer has become the god of this world. Why? Because there is a very important principle in the Bible that says you are a slave to whom you obey. To whomever you obey, that is who you make your Lord. That day they made Satan Lord. He became the god of this world. So now you have an egotistical, self-absorbed maniac that now has dominion over the earth. And you have the man who was made in God's image, who is now born again into death and is dead and is passed into eternal death. And because he has passed into eternal death, that always works its way from the inside out. Whatever happens to the inside works its way to the outside. So eventually, his flesh would succumb to death. And it was never supposed to be that way. That's why, to all living creatures, death is just not natural. And to all that Adam had dominion over was now cursed. And death came into the world. And the god of death was now the god of this world. And so death began to reign. And man becomes corrupted. He's a spiritually dead man. And God comes down, verse 7, the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. All of a sudden, now they're aware of themselves. Oh boy, now they're self-absorbed. They're aware of themselves. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And all of a sudden, for the first time, they were afraid. What does most fear come from? It comes because you are so aware of yourself. And something becomes a threat to you. A threat that you don't feel like you can mount a good enough resistance to. And so it makes you afraid. It's all from being self-aware now. You're self-absorbed. And that has become a natural tendency of man. Now all of a sudden man is very consumed with himself. And he is afraid. And the Lord God, verse 9, the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Couldn't see him. And so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden." And what? "I was afraid. Because I was naked. I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And of course, Adam gives his excuses. And isn't that what we do when we're so self-absorbed? "It can't be my fault. Wasn't me." So he blamed his wife, and his wife blamed the serpent. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, you are cursed." Verse 15, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." What? I thought it was the seed of Adam. What are you talking about? The seed? He didn't understand that. We know he didn't understand that because he did not figure it out. Because if he figured it out, the Bible says he never would have killed Jesus. He's going to put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, not the seed of Adam. God wasn't going to use Adam. He was going to use the woman. And he said, "He's going to bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel, but only because he's stomping on your head. You'll have your day, but because of that day, he will crush your head. And you may think you've got dominion now, but he will bring your dominion down." And to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. And in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I command you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake." He did not blame Eve. He blamed Adam. "This is your fault." "And thorns and thistles shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." See, you're dead, and that death is going to overtake everything. The ground, the animals, everything. And you will just return to the ground. For you were made of the dust, and you will return to the dust because your spirit is graveyard dead. Saddest story in the whole world. Man went from being like God, the dominion of God. Everything was in order. Everything was very good with just one rule. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day you eat of it, you'll die. And he did. And he died. And now the earth was cursed. Now jump down to chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife. They became intimate. And she conceived and bore Cain. And said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. They had children. But the problem was that corruption went from Adam into Cain. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The spiritually dead man gave birth and passed his seed to a spiritually dead son. And we know the story of Cain and Abel. So we know that death and self-absorption and evil transferred with it. Well, God liked him better than he liked me. He likes him better than he likes me. What's that about? That makes me so mad. God liked his sacrifice better than he liked mine. I worked hard on this. And he liked his better than he liked mine. Why does he like that one better than he likes mine? He should like mine better than he likes his. I'm going to kill him. Why? Well, because God liked him better than he liked me. It should be about me. I should be the number one. But God liked him better than he liked me. You can see that self-corruption, that knowledge of evil, that evil that was in the heart of man passed right on to the child. Did it not? And so man died. And the seed of Adam was corrupted. And you got a spiritually dead man giving birth to spiritually dead children. All flesh is corrupted. Now let's go back to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And we're going to see how the seed of woman came and crushed the head of the serpent. And the old dominion was restored. Now let's go back to Nicodemus and his conversation with Jesus. And let's read it again so that you understand what Jesus is talking about in light of everything we just got finished reading back in the book of Genesis. Verse 3. Jesus said to him, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he was old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. You see, you were born of the flesh and you were born of a corrupted seed. You were born of Adam. You were born of a spiritually dead race. You were born of flesh. Elements of the earth that was cursed. That's all you are, Nicodemus. You're a spiritually dead man born of flesh that is made of the elements of the earth that is cursed. You're assembled in your mother's womb by elements that she consumes through eating. And it is a miracle in and of itself that the body then takes those elements and pulls from the foods and assembles a man or a woman. And they pass through the birth canal and are born, but they're born spiritually dead, made up of nothing more than elements of the earth. They do have a spirit. But that spirit is deader than a doorknob. And they have a heart that is bent on evil. That's why when God came down and saw what was going on at the Tower of Babel, he said, nothing's impossible to man. And he said, his heart has been on evil. His heart has been on exalting himself. And over in the Proverbs, it says, evil has been up in the heart of a child. Every child is completely absorbed with themselves. Man that is born of man is still going to have that tendency to be self-absorbed and be all about me, and therefore is going to conduct himself throughout his life from the primary perspective of me. And me is dead. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you are born of a corrupted race. A race that is evil, so you cannot meet the demands of the law. You can't do it. Because the law was given in righteousness. And you can't do it. You can't act like God because you haven't got the capacity. You don't have the life in you. You're dead. And you need to be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be born of the Spirit of God in order to be alive. Because that which is flesh gives birth to flesh, but only the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Flesh is dead, and it's going to give birth to dead flesh. But an alive spirit can give birth to another live spirit. We'll go back over to chapter 1. Chapter 1, we're all the way back to where we started. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and in the beginning was, and He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 9, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them, he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, because the blood of Adam was corrupted, nor of the will of the flesh, because the will of Adam was corrupted. It was evil now. His will was all about him. Nor of the will of man. Like I said, it was corrupted. It was all about himself. But of the blood of God, of the Spirit of God, and of the will of God. You're born again. Born of God. Born of God's nature. Born of God's Spirit, born of the blood of the Lamb that was slain before any of this happened. God had a plan. He loved us. The older I get, the more I become aware of the love of God and how deep it is. And I haven't even touched the surface but it is deep. The love of God. He's not self-absorbed. He's not evil. But he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to redeem us and give us the right to be born again. Jesus said in the same third chapter of John, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. That is the love of God. Just to send Jesus into the world to be beaten and killed? No, that wasn't it. His love was that we might be born again. Born again into the life of God. Once again, having eternal life. That's why Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody that believes in him might not perish, might not die, might not fall under the curse of eternal death, but should have everlasting life, might have eternal life. Once again, life would come back in here. And just like eternal death cursed the earth, including the elements that we were made of, so that we would die physically. Because that eternal death that took place when Adam was born again into death affected his flesh. And not only his flesh, but the flesh of all the earth. Everything dies. Even trees and plants. The earth is now cursed. And we're all made of those same elements, and they're all cursed with eternal death. So there is a day that comes when the flesh does die. But we live on because the life of that spirit never dies. It's eternal. It never dies. That was the love of God.